You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to Bear and Balance. I'm Jeff Berkus, a writer for Windy City Gridiron, and I'm joined by the editor of that fine website, Lester A. Wiltfong Jr. Lester, the Bears fall to 2-6 after a very depressing 30-13 loss in Los Angeles to the Chargers. Other than the game, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. It's Halloween season. That's one of my favorite holidays of the year. I took the day off partly because the Bears played last night. I was up late writing, getting things prepped for the site, and partly because I knew today I would be doing some stuff around the house. So, you know, we got the chainsaw ready to go for the kids, you know, the dead bodies hanging from the tree. So we're almost there. We'll finish up the decorations tomorrow, then have the kids come by tomorrow for a trick-or-treat.
You need to snap some pictures and share those on the socials. I'd love to see that. That's great stuff. That's fantastic. I want to just make sure I thank Taylor for filling in on this show last week. Did a great job. Really appreciate that. You got to talk about a win with Taylor, and that's great. I'm glad that somebody got to have fun. I got to watch the game with our friend Andrew, who's been a big supporter of the podcast channel. Watched that game in a New York City bar. It was pretty cool. He was saying that the bar was packed week one against the Packers, right? Just packed. And then against the Raiders, there were like three other Bears fans. Then there were more fans of other teams. It was a Bears bar, but there were more fans of other teams watching games. And so, I mean, you could just tell the energy is, you know, kind of gone at that point. But some interesting things to talk about in that game last week. And then, of course, following in this game this week, we're going to get into it. There's going to be some Chris Collinsworth talk today. Holy smokes, what the heck was that? We need to discuss that. But we start off every show talking about the trenches. So trench tribute this week, who do you got?
I'm going to go with the rookie right tackle, Darnell Wright. You know, he had a nice game. You know, I was expecting, you know, Joey Bosa on one edge, Khalil Mack on the other. You know, Brandon Staley would kind of, you know, move those guys around. And you know, they have some good pass rushers. I mean, the Chargers have a terrible pass defense. You know, they were like the worst in the NFL, but they were good at getting after the quarterback. So I thought, okay, they're going to heat up Agent. It'll happen. It didn't. You know, Darnell Wright did a pretty good job. He didn't pitch a shutout. He gave a few pressures, but no sacks. And he was good in a run game. He just keeps showing that he is that guy. You know, he's a physical presence. You know, coming out of college, he was a pretty good pass blocker, but I think that as a rookie so far, his run game much better than I thought. I thought he would struggle a bit because in college he was inconsistent, but he's got it down. I mean, he has pretty good technique in a run game. Once he latches on, he's got you. You know, he drives you. He likes to finish you. I mean, there's a few plays in the game against Charger where he just would just take the guy and took him to the turf. So I like Darnell Wright. I'm a really big fan of his game.
100% agree. I got two names written down per usual. One of them was Darnell Wright. When he gets out in space, he's pretty fun, right? Like, yeah. It's a big guy moving, but yeah, you know, he's still fleet of foot enough, and I think young enough in his career that he's still pretty good on the move. So that's really cool to see that touchdown run. He's out in front. I mean, who else would you want more than Darnell Wright? Like, just, you know, that has to feel pretty good for Darrington Evans at that point when he sees big number 58 rolling down the field in front of him. Absolutely well-deserved there. I'm going to go with his new guard partner in Tevin Jenkins. Just one of those two guys was where I was going to go with this. The right side of the line looked pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, like, Jenkins is obviously, he's a baller in the run game, and that's generally where you put the right guard, right? You put the left guard, a guy that's maybe a little bit more adept at the pass pro. But the right side of the offensive line with Jenkins and Wright looks fantastic. And it looks much better than what's happening on the left side of the offensive line right now, where you have your swing tackle, Larry Borum, playing, and you have Cody Whitehair, who's doing his best. He's out there trying, I guess, is what we'll say. But, you know, probably passed it, probably doesn't have it anymore. But the right side, if you just watch the right, you know, cover up the left side of the offensive line when you're watching the game, just watch the right side. It's pretty good. And those two guys are really impressive. And when you're in another season like this and you're looking for some silver linings, I think you can point to those two guys and say that there it is. Those are two guys that you can build that offensive line around. Maybe, you know, Braxton Jones comes back, you add a center prospect in, you know, Nate Davis, you know, you've got on a contract. Maybe you're not that far away from having a legitimate offensive line.
Yeah, we talked about it a lot when I subbed. It's funny because I did Bears Over Beers and it turned into a bunch of O-line talk because, you know, I think because I was steering the convo, so that's kind of where I took it because that's what I want to talk about anyway. So, yeah, when Nate Davis comes back, that's a good problem to have because he was playing pretty good before he got hurt. Of course, the high ankle sprain is a problem for him. It's, you know, a lot of people say it's a four-week injury. He's not on IR, partly because the Bears don't have many more IR designated to return spots left. There's only three left they could do, so maybe why they didn't put him on IR. But at some point, he should be back, and I think at that point, he's always been a right guard. So I think he goes back to his spot, kick Jenkins over to the left side. Cody Whitehair now becomes your swing guard. I think that's probably what you have to do. Lucas Patrick, he's fine. You know, he was good against the Raiders, which was funny because that's the week here. You know, I'm talking to Taylor, of course. We're talking about Lucas Patrick. This week, he was not very good. So, they, like you said, center. They got to figure center out.
Yeah, I mean, they have – there's that old saying, like, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have any quarterbacks. Yeah. You know, right now they have, like, four centers, but they don't have any centers. Yeah. Right. Like they've got Lucas Patrick, who I think we've seen enough of to say, like, yeah, he's not the guy. They got Cody Whitehair, who, you know, this deep in his career doesn't know how to snap. And, you know, just it seems like his problems have just exacerbated and got worse over time. You've got Dan Feeney, who you gave up a 6th round pick for, I think he's had like 3 snaps or something like that. One that like almost went over the head and, you know, whatever. And then you've got Doug Kramer, who, you know, we've haven't really seen it yet from him. Right. And, you know, a little bit undersized. So, you got four centers, but you don't have a center, right? Like that's kind of where the Bears are at. Let's maybe invest some capital in there and get a guy, right?
Whoever the GM is this offseason, whoever it is, you got to get a center. You got
to get a center. All right, so let's move on to our tweet of the week, sweet tweets. I'll start us off. Our friend Brendan Chagrou, I'm going to say his last name correctly this time. Because
you got it. That's it.
It's a weird, you know, Irish spelled last name.
Yeah.
And I had butchered it in the past.
Yeah.
But I made sure that I remembered how to say it. He had a good one earlier today. Through 8 weeks, the Bears have 25 pre-snap penalties. That's second most in the league. Last year, they had 28 total. Keep talking about the fundamentals, though, Matt. That was the tweet. Yeah, I mean, it's been a problem, and we're deep enough in the season where you can say this is a real problem. It wasn't just a blip. It wasn't, it was working out the kinks in September. This is halfway through the year. You know, we are through October, and you now can see that this has added up to the second most in the league, and that's not what hits is all about, right? Like, this is the opposite. And so, again, if you're not built to overcome penalties, like the Bears are not, you know, it hurts even more, right? These drives are basically dead as those things happen. You know, you cost yourself 5 yards back up, first for 15, or you know, second and 15 or whatever, and you know you're already behind the sticks and you're not able to catch up when you're playing an offense that's designed to like get 4 or 5 yards at a clip and really aren't relying on any kind of explosive play element with this quarterback and with this approach. You have no margin for error like this. You can't have pre-snap penalties, and this team is full of them.
This team has to be perfect to even have a chance to come near a victory. And there've only been 5 in the Eberflus era. It's just ridiculous because last year they were pretty good. I mean, you can look at the team and say that they were awful. Of course, they had only 3 wins. You know, there were some exciting moments here and there, but you know what? The hits philosophy seemed to be kicking in because they were not penalized very often. This year, there's been at least one 10 penalty game. There's been a couple 9. I think they had an 8. They had 7 this last week. You know, 2 weeks ago against the Raiders, they had two penalties wiped out, big plays from Darrington Evans. Same thing this week, they wiped out some big plays.
Big Foreman run.
Yeah, I mean, the hits philosophy, again, this is what you're hanging your hat on. You know, you're the culture guy. We talk about all the time, you're the culture guy. And you're having these pre-snap penalties, and in year two of your culture, you know, that should not be something that gets worse in time. That should be getting better in time, and it's not happening.
What about you? What'd you have?
Jarek Payton, of course, we all know, the son of the greatest Chicago Bear of all time, Walter. He tweeted out, I'm tired of being embarrassed on national TV as Bears fans. I know it's the norm for us, but it shouldn't be. This is the son of the greatest Chicago Bear of all time. He's embarrassed for the franchise. I saw this tweet and I'm like, man, that's sad. That's sad to see. But it's so true, you know, and it's not just prime time. I mean, like five wins in this era, you know, before that, the whole Nagy thing, a lot of embarrassing moments there too, you know, Fox, Trestman. Okay. You know, it's been a long time since this franchise has been something you can be proud of. And when Jarek Payton is, you know, when he's sick and tired of this stuff, you know, you just hope this kind of stuff gets to someone that can say, you know what, we got to change. And whether it's George or whether it's Kevin Warren or Ryan Poles or someone, you know, it's got to stop. You know, it's the city of Chicago deserves so much better than what the product has been on the field.
You know, these networks so desperately want Chicago to be good. Right. This is like part of when you get to talk to somebody. I don't know if this is happening. This happened on my trip. I was in conversation with somebody and they're like, you know, I think honestly, NFL is registered as like an entertainment product. I think it's rigged. And I'm like, absolutely not. Yeah. You know why? It's because if it was rigged, they would have rigged one for Chicago. Like they want this team to be good because it's a huge market. Like they're not just putting Chicago fans through pain on purpose. Right. This is in the building. This is a structural problem in the building. And these networks want Chicago to be good because they want to sell advertising. That's the game, right? They pay a lot for these rights. They want a big audience. They want to attract the dollars from advertisers. And so they put the faintest glimmer of hope, they give the Bears national games. And then what happens is they turn out to not be very good and they give these clunker of a game. And so they get blown out and people are tuning out. People are turning off that game. Bears fans maybe watch the whole game. I mean, I watch the whole game because I got to talk about it. Yeah. But, you know, like this thing was what, 30-7, you know, at one point? Like this game wasn't competitive at all, ever, right? This game fell over in the first quarter. And so you continue to do that and you're not going to get that national attention that, I mean, games flexed out already here. Right. Like the local market in Des Moines, Iowa is flexing out of Bears games to show some, you know, a more national game of the week, not even another local team, just a national team. Right. That's embarrassing. I got to go to a bar to watch a game or try to do an illegal download, which I would not do. Right. So never, I go to the bar, I support local. Right. So like, you know, it is embarrassing. Right. And then like, I always wear my Bears gear, like win or lose, I'm wearing Bears gear, and the amount of like shit that I get talked to because I'm wearing bear stuff. But I'm on the East Coast this last week. I stopped in to try to, you know, see if I can find a bourbon bottle, you know, on the bourbon hunt. You guys know what I'm talking about. And this guy goes, Bears fan, huh? And I said, is that all right? And he goes, well, yeah, but I just feel bad for you guys.
Oh man.
Literally what he said. And I go,
the pity from the East Coast fans. That's
terrible. Thanks, man. I was like, well, you know, it is what it is. I go, what's your team? And he goes, oh, I'm an Eagles fan. And I go, oh my God, an Eagles fan has just reached out to me and said, I'm sorry, man. Yeah. That sucks for you. Like an Eagles fan, like aren't they supposed to be the worst fans out there?
And this guy's city of brotherly love.
Sorry. You know? Sorry about your plight in life, buddy. Anyway, it is embarrassing right now and it's tough, right? I understand if you guys out there aren't wearing your gear as often because it's tough. Like you don't really want to deal with it. You don't want to talk about it. I didn't necessarily want to talk about it all the time either, but you know, it is what it is. It's such a part of my wardrobe, right? Let's just move on. Stats. There's not a lot of fun stats, but I tried to go in a like non-negative direction.
That's good because mine is negative.
Okay, so I'll start off. So my number is 15.
Okay.
And that is, there are 15 months separating Justin Fields and Tyson Bagent. Justin Fields is barely older than Tyson Bagent. This idea that I have seen regularly out there that Tyson Bagent is so much younger than Justin Fields and you got to give him time to develop is not a real thing, right? Tyson Bagent was in college for longer. These guys are really only separated by a little over a year in age. Bagent is kind of a fully baked prospect coming out of college. We've talked about how many passes he threw in Division II. You know, Justin Fields obviously got a couple years starting experience at Ohio State, but this idea that you want to like discard Justin Fields because you have this young guy that you want to give a lot of reps to because you think he's going to grow, it's not really backed up by anything real, right? I mean, they are not that far apart in age. This is not some like Justin Fields is 28 and this kid's 22, right? There's not this big difference in age. They're about the same age. And so I just was like, how much different? I saw it enough that I had to go look and see when these guys were born. And there's only 15 months apart. We got to just kind of kill that narrative. That's not what this is. This is not young guy needs time to develop. This is a guy that we think could probably add value as a really good and cheap backup. And that is different than somebody who's going to be the franchise quarterback who can take you to a Super Bowl.
I think we both like Bagent. I think most Bears fans like Bagent. There's just a weird section of Bears fans that it's like either or. It's like they can't be fans of both. It's like they have to make sure they take their shots at one guy or the other. And it's like, what are we doing here? You know, I mean, it benefits us as fans if this guy's a good quarterback and if his ceiling is good backup quarterback, that's a heck of a use of your undrafted free agency. That's awesome. You know, we talk about all the time. Now you don't have to spend $4 million on PJ Walker next year because you got a guy in house that you're paying, you know, relatively cheap, who you trust as your backup. And I think he had a nice game. We'll talk about him more here in a second. But for me, my number is 13.6. So Aaron Lemming, our guy, he pulled the Bears stat that they've been outscored by 68 points in games following the 5 wins in the Eberflus era. So 13.6 is 68 divided by 5. So they're getting outscored by about 2 touchdowns a game after every win. You know, they never had a winning streak. You know, that's just not what this organization does anymore under Flus. And are they that ill-prepared that they're dropping it by 2 touchdowns following games?
That's terrible. That is so bad. I did not know that. I knew that they hadn't won back-to-back games.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's only 5 wins and you know, you can kind of remember them and remember the desert in between. But losing by 2 touchdowns after every win.
They're getting smoked after every out.
Just letting the air out of it. All of the goodwill that you had built up in the week before. Yeah, they all seem like these isolated incidents, and then there's always this like real, like that's the thing about Bears fans, right? Is that they're like, well, maybe they turn the corner, right? Like remember the win against the Patriots is like, well, you know, like it's new, it's, you know, and then it was just losses, right? Yeah. And so yeah, that man, that's fascinating. That is a good pickup by our friend Aaron Lemming. Sad pickup, but a good pickup. Yeah. Holy crap. Okay. That was depressing. Yeah. I'm not commonly shocked by your comments, your numbers. That one got me. So I did That's not good. See that
I
one.
Did it. Nice.
You did it. All right. We're going to go with Bagent Orange, the Bagent report here since Fields is still out. Bagent went 25 of 37 for 232 yards. That is a 6.3 yards per attempt. Not great, but okay. He did not throw a touchdown pass, although he certainly had an opportunity to throw a touchdown pass to Velus Jones and did throw 2 interceptions in this one. I took 1 sack, you know, like, so your sack watch is going to be light work this week. So that's good. But, you know, overall, again, like this is, to me, this just, it's a Gardner Minshew guy, right? Like, and yeah. I like Gardner Minshew, but this feels a little Gardner Minshew. And I had tweeted out at the beginning of this game, like, okay, we saw what this guy can do against, you know, admittedly a not so good football team in the Raiders when they got a positive game script. The running game looked good. You know, everything rolled pretty well for him. He was able to matriculate the ball down the field regularly. You know, he got a defensive touchdown. The defense played lights out, right? Like, that's a really good game script for a guy like Tyson Bagent. This one, Bears get down early, right? They don't really ever establish the run. They try to have to force the pass, and it just, every throw is not on the table for him, right? He does not have that world-class arm that he can throw every direction. Brandon Staley is a smart defensive coach, took away some stuff, right? Took away middle of the field a lot from him, and, you know, really forced him to throw out on the sidelines. Doesn't have the strongest arm, right? So that is, you know, he can get it there. He had a couple good balls, particularly Cole Kmet. But, you know, overall, like, he's not going to be able to make them pay and force down the field. And so this is kind of what you expect against a little bit more of a talented defense, even though their secondary has struggled this year. The Chargers secondary has struggled this year, but this is kind of what you expect a guy like him to do. Gets the ball out quick. You know, does have a higher, like, a decent completion percentage, but, you know, not a real explosive play element to his game. You know, minus the play to Mooney, and that probably should have been a touchdown. Runs, right? Mooney didn't sell it, right? Maybe we should talk about that. But, you know, overall, I would say, like, you know, if the bar is we're judging this guy as an undrafted free agent rookie who's making a start, he's fine. Right. You know, made some turnover worthy plays, made some nice throws, you know, particularly to Cole Kmet. But overall, right, like, not nearly enough to carry this team to a victory.
I thought he played fine. You know, he played kind of like I expect him to play. I wrote earlier in the week that if the Bears had any chance to win the game, he would have to go ridiculous and have an outstanding game passing the ball, because that's what the Chargers give up. They give up our yards to the air. You know, they gave some yards up, but, you know, like you said, Brandon Staley is a good coach. He kind of schemed some stuff, some different looks. I think he fooled Bagent a couple times. I mean, he threw the two picks. He had a couple others that probably should have been. He had a couple others where he kind of was, I don't know who he was throwing to. So, you know, he had a rough game, but again, undrafted free agent rookie, this is what you expect. Some people in Chicago media went overboard. You know, some people in the national media went overboard. They wanted to talk about this guy like he was going to be the next guy, and like, it's like, well, let's pump the brakes a little bit. You know, that's not who he is at this point in his career. He may end up becoming a fantastic NFL quarterback. But if not, if he ends up being a guy that's bounced around, you know, 10, 12 years, has the Chase Daniel career arc, that's outstanding from where he's coming from.
Yeah, he's not going to have to go into a second career after. Like, I mean, that there's real money and being a guy that stays on NFL rosters for a long time. It's not an insult to say that, like, this, when I say Gardner Minshew, I really like Gardner Minshew. Like, yes, you have to know what that is, right? Yeah. Like, this is not one of the top guys that you're going to, like, try to build around to try to win Super Bowls. This is a guy that you want to have because he can come in for, you know, finish out a game if your quarterback goes down, or spot start a couple weeks in the year. Like, that's what that guy's for, right? So that's the metric that you should be judging against, the bar that you should be judging against for a guy like this. If somehow he just takes leaps and bounds and becomes something better, then great. Like, then, awesome. Then we're having a different conversation. But why are we jumping the gun? Yeah. But I think this is the space to talk about Chris Collinsworth. Unbelievable what Chris Collinsworth was talking about last night. At one point he said that Justin Fields needed to study him. They needed to study how Tyson Bagent is running the offense. I'm listening to the slurp fest about this young man. And, like, I understand how these things are put together. You go and you interview coaches and you interview players and you have these prepared remarks, all those sideline hits, like, those things are all prepared throughout the week when they meet with the media. You know, they're just waiting to, you know, give you little hits on, you know, Deontay Foreman didn't play for, you know, like, whatever it is. They have something prepared. Something triggers it. They throw it down, or they have it in their notes up at the top, and those guys start talking about it. But the level with which they were talking about Tyson Bagent, like, he was the new hot thing in the NFL, the new guy, and he defending his arm strength and all this. Like, I mean, I have eyes. Like, yeah. He can't throw the ball. He doesn't have all throws available to him. That's fine. Not all quarterbacks do. Why are we pretending like he does?
Yeah.
Why are we pretending like he has arm strength as a feature of his game? It's not there, right? And so where did they get this? And this is the part where I'm having some trouble right now,
yeah.
Because this feels like this was pushed by the Bears coaching staff, and it definitely feels like they are now at the point where they are trying to pin the issues of the year on Justin Fields to try to save their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a Bears fan and you listen to that game and you weren't kind of disgusted by what was happening, like I just don't agree. Like I got really upset with it. Like I listened to Collinsworth and Tirico continue to go down this line. And I'm like, they got fed this. This is something that they're reporting on based on what they heard. And I don't like it, man. Like I don't like how they're trying to throw Fields under the bus. And I know I'm out on Matt Eberflus. I've been out for a while.
Yep.
But this, if George can put two and two together, he should be just sending these guys home right now.
You know, I didn't watch I watched the game live, but I was doing I was media casting on the PSF app. So I didn't have the volume up. But then after the game was over, Jack Silverstein had a tweet and he kind of referenced this whole thing that was being said there. I'm like, oh my God. And then Kyrie Thompson, he wrote an article at Windy City Gridiron today. NBC's embarrassing Tyson Bagent love fest makes Bears look even dumber. And he kind of touched on it there. And then Dan Bernstein and Lawrence Holmes on WSCR, they had a great rant today. Basically the same thing. It's like, this is like you said, this is being fed to these guys at NBC. They don't follow the Bears closely. You know, they don't know. They see a great story. Oh man, Tyson Bagent, UDFA, you know, they had a whole bunch of clips. They wanted some stuff. His dad is outstanding. His dad is a great personality. They wanted to promote this. This is great ratings for them. They wanted him to be good, but the product in the field wasn't showing that. It's like, awfulannouncing.com. They had a lot of good stuff on this too. It's like, they're saying all these great things about how Fields has to learn from Bagent. And then the very next play is a horrible throw. It's like, you know, the narrative, you can't drive the narrative when the game's taking place. You know what I mean? It's like, there's a disconnect there because it's not happening. We like Bagent. We want him to succeed, but let's just slow down, you know? And it's like, that's what seems to happen. And I'm with you. I think the Bears definitely had a few things to say. You know, maybe they weren't quite as over the top as what Collinsworth did, because Collinsworth he's doing this for ratings. He's trying to push things too, because that's what he does as a color commentator. So maybe it wasn't as to that extent, but he got that vibe somewhere. He got that vibe from Getsy or from Fields or from one of the quarterback coach or someone. You know, it's just, it was ridiculous the way that they were kind of treating that game.
Bernstein called it dirty pool, which I think is exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And I think it's honestly, it's ridiculous. And I think it should upset you as a Bears fan. Now, if you're the like 2% of Bears fans out there that just really like this coaching staff and don't like Justin Fields, then you don't care what I'm saying right now anyway. No. You've already made up your mind and you agree with this, but I think it's BS. And I think these guys should be called out for it. And I think they should, I don't think they should have jobs. Like I think they should just disappear. And I'm not very happy with it. And those of you that think like, oh, these guys are just calling how they see it, I will take you back to the media narrative game that I remember the most clearly was the NBC game where they retired Brett Favre's jersey. And they wanted nothing more than to just slurp on Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. And that whole game, Rodgers didn't play that well, and the Bears were winning. And then they like gave him like 8 shots at the end zone at the end, and the Bears won. The Bears held on and won that game. They didn't talk about the Bears once the entire game. It wasn't until afterwards, and they're like, oh, the Bears won this game. We should probably talk about the Bears. I remember this because I watched it at my in-laws. My father-in-law is a Packers fan, and the whole game, I'm just sitting there like, what am I listening to? What is this? They're not calling the game. Yeah. They're they have these prepared remarks. They thought Green Bay was going to walk all over Chicago, which to their credit, you know, in defense for them, that generally is what happens, right? But that wasn't what was happening on the field. So they weren't calling the game. They were presenting, you know, whatever package that they had developed. They had this developed. And it didn't match what was on the field, but they already had this developed. So anytime something happened, Bajent throws a pass, 50 yards down the field. He overthrows Tyler Scott by 7 yards, right? And Tirico makes some comment like, he's got the arm strength. Yeah. Like, what? Like, how is that? Maybe there's not even close to being accurate. That's not a good ball.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing good about that pass, but you're going to defend it because you're, well, see, he's got the arm strength. And not really. Like, that wasn't really what that was. Anyway, they come up with these things, unfortunately, in advance a lot of times, and they try to fit the narrative into the game, and even if the game does not reflect that. And to me, Bernsey nailed it. Sturdy pool.
Yeah.
Okay, there was my rant.
That's okay. You had to get it out there somewhere. Now, it's a good place for it. As you said, that's exactly what seemed like happened. You know, we aren't the only one that saw it, obviously. You know, Kyrie wrote about it. Bernstein and Holmes talked about it. It's out there. It's an entertainment product. That's what Sunday Night Football is. So they had to have their stuff prepared, and it didn't go the way they wanted it to go. So that's what happens.
No, it did not. All right, we'll take a quick break. On the other side of this break, we're going to talk about everybody's favorite segment, Three Bears. Stick with us.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
All right, Lester, let's talk Three Bears, hot bowl of porridge, cold bowl of porridge, and just right. A lot of places to go for one of these bowls, but the hot bowl of porridge, I'm curious where you went. I'm going to let you lead off on this one.
Cole Kmet.
Okay.
Had a career high, 10 receptions, 79 yards. Plus, when I watched him back as a blocker, he didn't get a lot of chances to block in the run game because the Bears didn't run very successfully very often, but he was fine. And I think Cole Kmet, just because of a career high, I got to go hot bowl here. Cause like I said, there's not a lot of place to go with this when the Bears got beat 30-13, Cole Kmet, man, he got no catches last week. Last week he was more blocking. This week, the receiving aspect comes in and, he made some plays, not enough obviously, but I think Cole Kmet is still, he is who he is. This is who he is. He's capable of these outbursts on occasion. And it was nice to see Bajent kind of look to him on occasion here.
All right. So he was my just right. And I know like it's a big statistical outburst in terms of 10 catches, but this is a young quarterback, right?
Yeah.
So I was surprised last week that he wasn't targeted. Like, I mean, he didn't have a target, let alone a catch, I believe. Right. So this was to me like a nice bounce back for this, because this is what I would expect Tyson Bajent to have to build through. Right. Like a lot of the throws that are going to be available to him I think, are the tight end routes. And so I was surprised that he didn't take advantage of that last week. And this week I did, you know, there was maybe an overcorrection and it maybe went away from Moore a little bit too much. But 10 catches on 10 targets, 79 yards, no touchdowns. Like it's a nice game, right? Yeah. Like it's a few more catches than you might expect, but it's not like he went over 100 yards. It's not like he had 2 touchdowns, right? It's not like he broke 5 tackles. Like he made the plays that were there and, you know, like made a little bit of yak, right? Not too much, but a little bit of yak, right? So to me, it felt like a just right bowl. So, maybe my expectations are a little higher.
Cool. No, you know, it's fair because I actually had him on just right at first. And then I'm looking in, I'm like, well, you know, he never had this in his life, 10 catches in an NFL game. I'm like, well, that alone pushed him to the over the top because the spirit of the hot bowl is someone that does better than you think. I wasn't expecting 10 catches out of Cole Kmet. That's why I kind of threw him there. But I can totally see where you're coming from. This is a nice game, 7.9 yards per carry. That's fine. That's a nice game for him. You know, you wanted to see it come in wins, but that's not what the Bears do these days.
All right. So my hot bowl of porridge, and maybe you can argue that this is a just right. But for me, it's TJ Edwards. And I thought he had a really nice game. I know he missed the tackle before somebody says like, hey, missed that tackle. Like, I get it. Guys don't make every play that's out there, but he makes a lot of plays. He makes a lot of plays that a lot of guys aren't making right now. And so, 9 solo tackles, 4 assists, 1 fumble recovery, 2 tackles were for loss. You know, nice drops in the backfield. And then he got 2 hits on Herbert. And I don't know if you know this, but those were the only 2 quarterback hits.
It's all they had.
Justin Herbert. Oh, so, like, he was the only guy providing any kind of splash, right? Like, I think he had the most tackles, combined tackles. Mm-hmm. Eric Stevenson had 10 solo tackles, which that's for a different reason, right? But, like, I mean, he's making the plays that are there, minus the 1 missed tackle on Eckler. He's making plays in the backfield. Like, he's rushing the passer and getting heat, right? Like, he was around the ball and it was able to recover the fumble for the only turnover that the Bears defense forced. Like, I know that he has been stacking tackles this year. Last week, not so much, but like overall this year, stacking tackles. But he's around the football all the time. He's making plays. He's one of the few guys that is actually doing something on this defense consistently. He's played 95% of the snaps. Like, he's a good football player. You want to get mad about the other linebacker contract? Fine. But I'm okay with this. I think he's a good football player, and I think he deserves a little bit of spotlight here.
I like that. You know, like during the game, there was some chatter that he got burned a couple times in pass coverage. You know, there was some stats I saw throughout today about his coverage grade. It wasn't the best. You cannot cover Austin Eckler I don't care who you are. You know, it's impossible coming out of the backfield on those option routes. He just picks whichever way you're leaning. He goes the other way. You have to stop Austin Eckler out of the backfield by scheme. You have to have that schemed up to where you have a guy ready for him, because if it's anything where it's just one guy there and there's no one else, you know, in that hook zone, he's going to get his catch. You cannot cover that. It's the same thing we talked about with Cohen years back with the Bears. Run him on those option routes because you cannot cover him. Austin Eckler is a fantastic football player, and he got a ton of yards because that's all they did with him.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Again, I'm sure people are going to be like, Jeff, you're an idiot. Got burned. I don't care. Like, he's the only one that's making plays. And again, your scheme is what your scheme is. You know what? Let's just go into cold bowl porridge, because I'll just give that. I'm just giving it to the whole defense. Because I just want to read you Herbert's stat line. You ready for this?
It's brutal.
Justin Herbert, who really didn't do much of anything in the second half because they didn't have to, right? 31 of 40 for 298 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. It's a 122.7 quarterback rating. Took no sacks and only took 2 quarterback hits. I mean, this was the friendliest day at the office for Justin Herbert, who is a fantastic talent. Like, yes, he is a very good quarterback. Like, I mean, top 5 quarterback in the league, but he has not played all that great consistently this year, right? Like, I mean, there have been games where he has struggled. This offense, the Chargers offense has not necessarily been the juggernaut that a lot of people maybe thought they were. They were not challenged at all. They were just trying to soak the clock in the second half. Like, this was a walk in the park. This continues to be a theme of Matt Eberflus's defense, is that there's just no pressure on the quarterback, and there's just not really a lot of resistance to stop anything. So you see, you know, average quarterbacks look good, and then you see good quarterbacks look amazing. And that's the problem. I mean, this 122 quarterback rating without breaking a sweat. Like, a guy didn't really do much. Like, in the second half, he could have ran up 400 yards easy if they would have kept put pressure in the ball. Whole defenses are Eberflus. Whole defenses are.
Yeah, the Chargers definitely coasted. I think Justin Herbert completed his first 15 passes. You know, he just was he was, you know, when you're not pressured, you know, it's going to happen. You know, Yannick Ngakoue. You know, I thought there'd be more out of him at this point. You know, maybe you can say, well, offenses know that he's the only guy the Bears have, so they're kind of maybe giving him a little extra attention. But you know what? You got to win some matchups when you get him, and he's not winning enough. DeMarcus Walker, he's flashed here and there. Andrew Billings, he's fine. I mean, the run defense against the Chargers, really good. The Bears have one of the better run defenses in the NFL. But honestly, who cares, because it's a passing league, you know what I mean? So if you're going to let Herbert throw the ball all over you, you know, and you can't stop him, what the hell are you going to do?
This team's built to win in 1995. what do you got for your cold bowl?
I had two, because I thought you would take the layup with Velus Jones Jr. I thought you were going to go that way.
I have him down, but.
You know, when it happened live, I'm like, well, it's a little underthrown.
It was underthrown.
But at the same time, a NFL receiver makes that play.
100%.
Velus Jones Jr. is not an NFL receiver. And the Bears keep running him out there. At this point, you're like, yes, it's because of the draft status. What else is the reason for him to keep playing? There was someone, I forget who sent it out. They sent out all of Velus Jones's miscues throughout his Bears career. All of his, it's like, what? This guy is still in the NFL. How is it even possible? He had a penalty on as a gunner too. So I thought you were going to take it that way. So I'm going to go a different route, just because, you know, the Bears suck. Let's keep going. Dominique Robinson was inactive. Here's another guy that's on the roster. You know, he didn't even get to dress this time. First time, I believe, in his career. And I looked at his stats this year. In two of the last three games he played, he may as well have been inactive. He didn't get a stat. Against Washington and against Las Vegas, he did nothing. He played. He didn't scratch the stat sheet. And then the one game he did something in against the Vikings, he had two assisted tackles. So in two of the last three games, he did nothing. So the Bears figured, you know what? Khalid Kareem now is coming off IR. He's the guy we wanted to get as a on the waiver wire. Let's sit Dominique Robinson. And there were people surprised. Oh my God, you know, why is Robinson? Well, because he sucks. He's done nothing this whole season, which is unfortunate, because I had high hopes for him. Good speed off the edge, good athletes. You know, he flashed last year, week one, and then really did nothing. Okay, he's still learning the position. What is he being taught? Is he not capable of picking up anything besides the one move that he has? Apparently that's the case here. So I had to go the double dip, Velus and Dominique, two of Ryan Poles' draft picks last year.
Well, that's a good one. I didn't notice that Dominique wasn't out there, but how can you notice when he is and when he isn't, right? Like, this is the, you know, this is the new Al-Kadeem Muhammad, right? Like, that guy. I didn't even realize he was out there. Interesting that he just fell on a football. You know, at some point, the Velus thing, like, I mean, isn't it just elder abuse if we give him too much? Sorry. The Velus thing kind of kills me, because it was an underthrown ball, but I mean, just stop, right? Like, I mean, it's just, it's bad. He lost his footing. That happens, but like, it's bad. And then the penalty on special teams is actually drives me a little bit more nuts, right? Like that, that's really inexcusable too. Yeah, it's not good. It's not good. The Bears scored on that drive that he had the drop, right? I think they ended up taking that in for a touchdown.
I believe so. That was the Evans touchdown run. Yeah.
So I don't think it actually hurt bottom line at all. But anyway, yes, that was bad. Okay.
So you already did, you already had your just right. Do you have another just right?
You haven't done yours though.
I have not done. So I'm going to go just because I want to finish. I don't want this to look like, I know we've talked a little negatively toward Tyson Bagent. So I'm going Bagent here. Just right. He performed like I thought he would. He's fine. You know, 68% passing. That's a good completion percentage for a guy. You know, he's done a pretty good job now in his three times he's played. He's going to get to start against again against the Saints. Coach Eberflus already said that Justin Fields' thumb will not let him play. He's already been ruled out. So he'll get one more game, you know, before they decide to maybe go back to the Fields if his thumb's good. So we like Bagent. He is fine. He's playing good football for an undrafted free agent. So let's keep it up.
Yeah, let's be crystal clear, is that any kind of rant is about the coverage or the people that are trying to promote him as the next great thing.
Yeah.
Like, let's keep in mind what this guy is trying to do. And if he exceeds those expectations, let's then reset the bar then, right? But let the guy play a little bit. Let his career breathe and see what happens, as opposed to trying to discard somebody else and promote this person on top. Like, we don't need to do that stuff, right? Like, let's set the bar with what it is and let's see what he can do. So I don't have much else. The only other thing that I would say is Darnell Mooney, next time that happens, get up and run. Yeah. Like that, they blew that dead because you were acting like it was dead. That was the only reason. Like, you have to get up and run. Even if you think you're down, which you're not, get up and run. So that's the only thing. I don't know if that's a bowl of porridge or just like I'm yelling that at the line as guys are coming through.
Let's just yell it. It's fine. It's okay.
Frustrating. So what else is going on that you want to promote before we get out of here?
You know, the Bears may stink. The Bears may not be what we want, but, you know, we're still there. I mean, I'm sure Jacob's going to have another mock draft at some point this week. You know, the draft order's kind of flipped a little bit with the Panthers getting a win, the Cardinals still losing, you know, but it's still fun. I mean, there's going to be a couple high draft picks there for the Bears to kind of do something with. And, you know, we'll, of course, be back here on the video channel, on the podcast channel. We're not going anywhere. I mean, we've got stuff all week here, the site. We're still covering our Chicago Bears.
Yeah, so I think that I have to make up some guest spots here because I took my vacation last week. So I believe I'm filling in for Bill on the postgame show this week with the Saints game, unless his schedule has changed. I think I'm going to be doing that with Taylor.
Oh, nice.
And then I'll be Bill's guest on the Thursday night game, the Panthers, next week. So be doing a couple of immediate post games, and then we'll of course do this show. So a lot of post game reaction from me coming up. Of course, you know, we'll have EJ on Bears and More Beers on Wednesday as we get into November, as the season continues to roll along, halfway over already, and all of the fun implications of what's going on. Bears have the Panthers, Bears have the Cardinals still on the schedule. There's some very interesting stuff that'll happen with those games and draft order. You know, the Vikings just lost Kirk Cousins for the year. You know, what does that do to that team? You know, they already have four wins, but, you know, how many more wins can they really have without Kirk? What are they going to do? The Packers only have two wins, right? Like, at what point did they start thinking about tanking? Like, this year was open for the Bears. Like, all of our analysis was right about every other team except this one. Like, we knew that this thing was open. You know, the schedule was soft, all those things. Like, we had the whole league kind of pegged. But of course, the Bears were not what we thought they were going to be. So that's the unfortunate part. Didn't get the home team figured out. Otherwise, I don't have much else. Just getting back into the swing of things. But like you said, join us on the site, and we'll stick around here for a few minutes to do a little Q&A with the YouTube crowd. But until next time, thanks for joining us. Bear down.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast-closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle. It's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.